All right, 3, 2, 1. How's it going, everybody? And welcome back to Nerd Stuff with Ian 2.0 podcast. And as always, I'm your host, Ian. And today's episode, we're going to talk about the newest DC animated movie, Green Lantern, Beware My Power. And just to kind of give a little bit of just my first thought about it, before kind of, you know, we go in depth and I kind of give more in-depth opinion of what I think. I think it is a good movie. It's not the best, but I definitely feel like you could tell the writers knew exactly where they wanted to pull from. And in that sense, they understood the character very well. They understood, you know, John Stewart. Green Lantern, a character that to a lot of people of like my generation who watch like Justice League and Static Shock and all the DC animated cartoons, you know, you really got associated through that form, or people who read the comics when John Stewart initially was created and took over as Green Lantern for a little bit and then didn't really fully take over again till later where he has on again, off again adventures between, you know, Hal and Guy and John Stewart at the time. So, I guess let's kind of just jump into it. So, So, story starts off where they are pulling from what the Justice League cartoon did, which is John Stewart is a former Marine. He's a Marine sniper. You know, he starts off in the battlefield. And, you know, he's helping us, his fellow soldiers, and next thing you know, they get attacked. And it kind of flashbacks for a little bit, and kind of John just having PTSD, he's kind of going through the motions, which to me I thought was a good character story to kind of go with, because, you know, it's something that not really many people have really gone in depth with a character like John Stewart, and I think this was a good chance for the writers to really dig in on that. And I thought that was great. That was something I felt like they really nailed and they really emphasized in that part of the character. And that's something that if you're currently reading the comics or if you've read anything with John Stewart, you know, you get that. Especially with Geoff Johns' runs, Robert Venditti's run, you know, a lot of the more current runs, they really pushed that, you know, that set. Thanks to the Justice League and Justice League Unlimited cartoons. So, John Stewart ends up, you know, getting into it with some muggers who are beating up this homeless guy. And John ends up, you know, beating these guys up and he ends up getting arrested. And he's about to get, you know, taken downtown when the cops, you know, look at his record, look what he is. And they see that, you know, he was honorably discharged from the army. You know, he's received all these decorations from the military, and the cops are like, do you really want to deal with the social media, you know, backlash of us doing this? You know, not even going after the people he fought, but going after the one black guy. And to me, I thought that was also something that I thought was good to put in there. Because it showed a social commentary of what they wanted to put in there. I didn't mind that. I think, if anything, that was just a good addition and something that if you really wanted to play that a part of the character, because comic books have always been with some form of politics, no matter which way you want to look at it. And that was a good way to really involve that. And I thought that was a very tasteful way to handle that, where, you know, you're not throwing it out right in somebody's face, but you're definitely acknowledging the fact that, you know, in a lot of ways, racism is prevalent. And, you know, depending upon the action you take can really either, you know, really make things look bad in the eyes, especially in the public with everything that's been going on. So John Stewart gets released. They're told, you know, he's told, you know, keep his, you know, just, you know, be safe, stay out of trouble, and keep it pushing. And I thought that was a good way of saying certain things without really being outright saying certain things, if you get what I mean. So as John Stewart, you know, he ends up getting some groceries, and the next thing you know, a ship crashes. You know, he runs his way over to the spaceship. He sees one of the guardians, which is Ganthet. He has a ring. He gives it to John Stewart. John Stewart gets essentially indoctrinated into being a Green Lantern without his choice. He ends up getting sent up to the Justice League Watchtower, where he runs into Vixen, Green Arrow, and Martian Manhunter. And from there, it just kind of, it's off to the races. It's just nonstop. You know, you have John Stewart having to fight, you know, Green Arrow and Vixen and Martian Manhunter. And he's, you know, slowly but surely kind of getting used to the ring. He's getting the idea of what it is. Especially after, you know, Green Arrow's like, what happened to Hal? Like, he's calling out John Stewart. And John Stewart doesn't know who in the world Hal Jordan is. And, you know, everything's kind of going sideways for him. They end up, you know, all coming to a stalemate. And John Stewart essentially gets tasked with Green Arrow to kind of figure out kind of what's going on. You know, see, they might be able to locate, you know, Oa, because essentially that is where the Green Lanterns are after John Stewart tells them that, like, Ganthet died, essentially. And Green Arrow offers to join him, which, if you have read any of the Denny O'Neil and Neil Adams books, you know this is really a reference to, you know, a love, or in a lot of ways, shouldn't even just a love letter, as well as the movie being a love letter to John Stewart. It's a love letter to Denny O'Neil and Neil Adams for John Stewart's character. And in all honesty, I think the writers, particularly John Semper, he really does nail not only John Stewart, but he nails Green Arrow. And he plays that dichotomy very well. And the director really did a good job with that, along with that. And it definitely feels a little bit like two guys who are on very much on the opposite sides, over time becoming friends. And I thought that was something interesting, and I thought that was a cool way to do it, in all honesty. But I kind of digress. So they get to Oa, and they see that Oa's pretty much been ravaged. You know, there's really and truly just, there's no green, all the Green Lanterns over there are dead. The giant Owen power battery is just destroyed for the most part. And, you know, John Stewart's got to, they got to figure out what's going on. They don't know what's happening. They don't know if Hal was involved, if he was killed along with them, you know, what really happened. And while they're on Oa, they end up running across Hawkgirl, who attacks them. They end up forming an alliance with her, and you find out what's going on besides, you know, while they're investigating everything, is the Rand-Thanagarian War, which is a very, you know, prevalent war in DC Comics that happened. And to me, I thought that was a good set for the story. You also have Hawkgirl ends up joining them. So now you have Green Arrow, Hawkgirl, and Jon Stewart, who, if you watch the cartoons for Justice League and Justice League Unlimited, you know Hawkgirl and Jon Stewart have a relationship. And they very much, you know, you can tell that's played up a little bit with this. But at the same time, you know, it's still the beginning stages. And I like the fact that they did that. Because you're seeing more of Jon Stewart's character. Now, as the story's gone on, you've had flashbacks of PTSD. You've had, you know, Jon Stewart having to fight his urge to just straight kill. And that is something that's also played into it as well within the story. And the ring repeatedly goes, lethal force is not authorized. Lethal force is not authorized. Lethal force is not authorized. After, you know, he almost kills Hawkgirl. Or at least Jon Stewart does. And it shows you kind of just what it, the kind of damage that Jon Stewart kind of has in his head. And I also thought that was great. I thought that was a good thing to put in there. That was something that, again, I think the writers did a great job with. So as the story progresses, you see that, you know, everything, you see that Thanagar has since been, you know, it got attacked, it got ravaged, and essentially, they, you know, as they're investigating Thanagar for what's going on with it, you have a Zeta beam, which essentially just is energy beam in the movie. It gets gone over about it. You find out the Zeta beam drops off Adam Strange, who's another character that was a part of the Rand-Thanagarian War. And he's a very interesting character to utilize. And I thought he was a good character to utilize. He's essentially just this space traveler. He, you know, he goes from location to location due to the Zeta beam. It's kind of like a basic gist of his character. And he uses pretty much, you know, laser pistol and a jetpack. And I thought that was cool. I thought that was a, you know, nice homage to the character. And something that you don't really get a lot of. He's a character that I feel like is very, very underutilized in DC in a lot of ways. And just, and I think that's more due to his, you know, coming out of science fiction type stories that he was written in when he was created, which I believe was in the 50s, the late 50s, early 60s is when he was created. Don't fully quote me on it, but that's really where he comes from, is that sci-fi era of superheroes. And, you know, of course, Adam Strange being Iranian and Hawkgirl being a Thanagarian, they end up getting into it because Rand and Thanagar, as I've said, they've been at war with each other. And they try to battle each other, and they end up getting separated by Jon Stewart and Green Arrow, or Jon Stewart and Oliver Queen, I should say. And, you know, they're kind of, and like they end up having to work together. Now they get, now Dr. or Adam Strange ends up talking to, you know, his some Randian generals, because he's been gone. Like, no one's known where he's been. He has a metagene, which is gone over, which I thought was cool, where he can attract these Zeta beams and it teleports them from place to place. And they kind of give a good back, they give a good backstory to this. Something not crazy, but I also think it fit well within the context of the story. And you have and find out that, you know, not all is what it seems. You know, Thanagar got attacked by Iranian ship, and you find out that was a decoy. And then you find out that Rand was attacked, or that both of them had been attacked by a very similar ship, just decoed in different versions of the planets. One was in Rand. When the Iranian ship landed on Thanagar, it was made to look like a Iranian ship, and it attacked Thanagar. When the ship landed on Rand, it did the same thing. So somebody else is pulling the strings. And I thought that worked. I thought that worked for the story. I think, to me, that was good. It set up that now is what it seems, and it got to, you know, really see the idea of like, hey, you guys are being manipulated. Take a step back. And that's something that both Adam Strange and Hawkgirl have to do. Because they recognize, after Jon Stewart really puts out there in front of them, it's like, hey, you guys really should be, you know, thinking about this more in depth. I know this is, you know, personal between you two, but you both need to really look at it. Who would kind of benefit from it? And from there, you find out that Sinestro and the Sinestro Corps have actually been behind the Rand-Thanagarian War, Rand-Thanagar War. That's been going on. Which, to me, plays well within the idea. You could do the Sinestro and Sinestro Corps kind of work. To me, I'm not mad at that. They fit well within the story. And to be honest, I think that was well done. You get to see Sinestro. You get to see some Sinestro Corps members. You get to see how Jon Stewart, Green Arrow, Hawkgirl, and Adam Strange handle some Yellow Lanterns. And then you also find out that, you know, when they end up losing and get captured, Hal Jordan's alive. And you find out from Hal Jordan that he was, you know, helping out with the Rand-Thanagarian War. He had gotten the peace talks to go, and that the he essentially was sent to stop the Zeta Beam, but the Zeta Beam had malfunctioned and it was firing anyways. So Hal Jordan ended up getting teleported, and when John Stewart questions him, he's like, "Well, how'd your ring leave you? Like, it says you were dead." And Hal goes, "I sent it away because I knew Sinestro would, you know, try and take it. Sinestro was a former Green Lantern. Now he's a Yellow Lantern leading the Sinestro Corps, you know, which is associated with Parallax, who is this ridiculous insect type creature now, insect entity that essentially the Sinestro Corps get a lot of their power from the Anti-Monitor. It's a whole nother kettle of beans I can go into on that one. I love Green Lantern. I love all that stuff, but trying to really go super in depth with a lot of that can really be time consuming. And maybe one day I'll do a little more in depth about that. Maybe I'll talk about Sinestro Corps. Maybe I'll talk about Geoff Johns' run on Green Lantern, stuff like that. And I probably will at some point. So you have Hal Jordan had sent his ring away. And essentially from there, Sinestro had held Hal Jordan captive. That was essentially the game plan that, you know, Sinestro had. The greatest Green Lantern, Hal Jordan, being held by him. And then, you know, from there, you can assume that Sinestro went in and just started wrecking shop on the Green Lantern Corps. On Oa, killing all the Owens, all that. And the story kind of lines up. So as the story progresses, they end up getting Hal Jordan released. And, you know, Hal's acting a little different. You know, before Hal would have a little more care for life, come to find out, Hal's taking lives left and right. He doesn't really care. You know, he's been held by Sinestro for a couple months. And essentially, he's at the point where he's like, screw this. Like, you know, war changes you. He's, you know, he's taken out some, you know, Sinestro Corps members. And he's just not having any sort of time for him. So as, you know, that progresses, they end up escaping. And, you know, of course, John finds out he can summon the ring to him. At the ring, if he speaks to it, thanks to Hal Jordan, he can summon the ring back. And kind of gives an indication that Hal Jordan no longer wants to be a Green Lantern. And he doesn't really want his ring back. So it kind of brings up some questions more and more, which will keep going. So from there, you have, you know, Hal, John, Green Arrow, Hawkgirl, and Adam Strange. They end up running into another Rannian ship, and they are trying to stop the Zeta Beam. Essentially, the Zeta Beam is the big weapon. They're trying to stop it, and that's like their big game plan. Like, they have to find a way to stop it. Well, as things were, as you would suspect, the Sinestro Corps is not going to be stopped that easily. They end up, you know, coming across Adam Strange and everybody, and they just start attacking. And as, you know, things are going on, things are being investigated, you find out, you know, during these battles, you know, the heroes are barely getting by. And when John Stewart goes to investigate, because after he beats, you know, a few people, he ends up beating one more Sinestro Corps member, he notices that there's a bunch of dead bodies behind in the hallway. And the bullet holes, or at least the laser pistol that was used, it was fired from the back, not the front. So the projectile, the laser, was being shot from the back, which means the people knew who shot him. You know, they weren't worried about him, and that there was some sort of, you know, allegiance. Most of the time you've had everybody, you know, turn forward, but by time, if anything, none of them did. They were all just down. You could assume, oh, well, Hal Jordan's not taking time for it. And John Stewart's not buying it. You know, he's seen enough war. He knows something's just not right. He's been seeing that Hal's not the same. Green Arrow's noticed it. And they're both on the same page of like, this isn't the same Hal Jordan we knew. And there's something different. We just can't put our eyes on it. So, of course, as, you know, John is going to investigate, Sinestro ends up invading, and him and John Stewart end up getting into it. John ends up getting his ring taken. And in something that I thought was kind of a waste, because I felt like, in all honesty, they're moving too much. This is where I felt like, for me personally, they could have separated stuff out. Sinestro ends up getting killed off because John Stewart summons his ring straight through Sinestro's chest before Sinestro can kill him and kills off Sinestro. To me, I felt like it was a waste. Sinestro, Val Sinestro, or Thal Sinestro, is a very, very, very capable villain. And if anything, he is one of the number one villains to the Green Lantern Corps. He's a guy that just does not stop and does not care. He's willing to go full balls to the wall, like, I will bring death to everybody. And to me, I felt like that was a waste to kind of kill off Sinestro the way they did. Now, the ending is kind of where I have some issues, I'll be honest with you. So, first, Sinestro gets killed off, which, personally, you should have let him live. He should have escaped. You know, something else should have happened in that. So then you find out that the Parallax entity during this whole situation had come from Sinestro and invaded Hal Jordan's body. Hal Jordan is now the villain Parallax, which essentially the Parallax entity took over Hal Jordan's body. And you find out that it was Sinestro and Hal that went and just wrecked shop on everybody on Oa. Just, you know, Hal saw what Sinestro wanted. Hal agreed with what Sinestro wanted to do. And they just full-blown, like, clean slate. They don't care. They want to destroy the Green Lantern Corps. And the only one left is John Stewart. So, of course, as Parallax is taking it to John Stewart. And Parallax is a very, very powerful being. He's originally trapped inside the Green Lantern battery. He later joined up with Sinestro Corps, becoming one of their main creatures for the Sinestro Corps. And he's a very powerful entity. He was essentially the embodiment of the Yellow Lanterns. To an extent. There's more to it, but yeah. Essentially, Parallax entity took over Hal Jordan's body. And they're, you know, the heroes are just kind of getting wrecked left and right. There's no real way to stop the Zeta Beam. You know, Hal has pretty much got his wish. You know, he's about to start killing more. Parallax is about to cause more chaos. You know, he is winning. And while no one's looking, Adam Strange flies out into space. And if you recall from what I talked about earlier, the Zeta Beams will follow him. Well, Hal has fired a Zeta Beam. So, of course, Adam Strange uses that to attract the Zeta Beam to himself and stop, you know, well, I think it was Thanagar from getting teleported straight into an exploding sun, essentially is what was going to happen. And you find out from there, you know, like, that stops it. Hal's like, you know what? That's not going to stop me. You guys are not enough. And John and Parallax, you know, they go out. And John Stewart ends up taking the rings from Hal Jordan. And he shows, like, I'm stronger than you. You know, there's not a lot you have left to battle me with. And Green Arrow ends up putting an arrow through him to finally finish off Parallax, because John just did not want to kill him. Because in John's mind, he's like, I'm tired of death. I'm tired of war. I'm tired of all this. Which, you know, I thought was a good thing for his character. And to me, I really didn't like the fact that Hal Jordan was just simply killed by Green Arrow. I thought it was touching that for the character because, you know, in the book, comic books, Green Arrow and Hal, you know, Oliver Queen and Hal Jordan, they're friends. You know, they're, you know, very close friends. And they had comic books together, which, again, reference, you know, Denny O'Neil and Neil Adams' story with Green Arrow and Green Lantern and Green Arrow, and they did a lot of work on the character, and that's how John Stewart was created. And again, it's a love letter to Denny O'Neil and Neil Adams. RIP to both, because I believe Neil Adams just passed a couple months ago, and Denny O'Neil has been gone for a few years. You know, those two were true pioneers in the comic book landscape, and they were true pioneers in the sense of constantly wanting to bring about realism to comics and equality to comics as well. You know, they didn't want to just be a bunch of white dudes. They wanted to be what the world was, a mixed basket, you know, something where it represents everybody. And that's where John Stewart came from. So to kind of get back to it, Parallax is dead. John Stewart's now the last remaining Green Lantern. And now, you know, he sends off rings to try and rebuild the Green Lantern Corps. And at the end, it ends with, you know, John Stewart and Oliver Queen, aka Green Arrow, you know, their budding friendship. And you could tell that's something that they're going to push going forward, which I like. It's something that was played with if you watch the Arrow TV show that everyone, you know, always thought John Diggle was John Stewart, and it was really referenced out there, and they were going to really play on that story more. And it's something that, you know, Green Lantern Beware My Power also is playing with, and I think they did a good job of. I think, if anything, they nailed John Stewart and they nailed Oliver Queen. I felt like Hawkgirl was good and Adam Strange was good. Now, overall, movie is good. I think it does what's necessary. It moves its story along and it puts you as the watcher in a sense of like, okay, I get it. And it's not super confusing and all the things within the story fall in line in a lot of ways. They match up perfect together and they see where it all works. The only thing I personally had, and it's only from comic book standpoint, is you could have easily stretched out the story that you had in it between Sinestro and Hal becoming Parallax. You know, you had story. Realistically, killing off Sinestro the way you do, to me, I feel like was a waste. He should have stayed in there. Personally, you could have made him a bigger villain going forward, going against, you know, John Stewart like they did in the cartoon or even, heck, in the comics. You could have kept that. He was somebody that, to me, I felt like worked. And you really, in a lot of ways, I feel like that was kind of a waste for his character. And the other thing I did not like was Hal Jordan, you know, really just immediately getting put in as Parallax just to get killed off. To me, you had a chance in that to elongate that story. You could have easily gotten another movie to two movies out of that story. You know, you could have built up the fact that, you know, Hal has to regain a ring. You know, John's now the Green Lantern. Hal's kind of trying to deal with civilian life, and he finally gets a new ring. John Stewart has the old ring. Or heck, John gives the old ring back to Hal, and John gets a new ring. And you just kind of have where Ganthet and all the Owens never really died. No, it was never destroyed. And all that. You could have easily set up all that for a future movie. You had a lot of material to play with, because the stories they pulled from were Emerald Twilight, the Rand-Thanagarian War. You know, really, truly, those are some of the biggest ones that they really wanted to pull from. And they, in a lot of ways, tried to make John Stewart, kind of what Kyle Rayner was during Emerald Twilight and kind of the aftermath of that, which I'm not mad at because John Stewart's a great Green Lantern and I personally like the character a lot. But then again, I'm a Green Lantern fan. That's where like my biggest issue kind of comes up is you have a very good chance to make an even better story and a plot story that can be played out in some more movies. And you can play that up. You know, maybe you don't show off that Hal is infected by the Parallax Entity. And that over time, Hal is losing, you know, his willpower to the ring. You know, Sinestro knows it, knows he has an inside man, and it's messing with Hal Jordan and John Stewart. You play up that type of story. You have where, you know, John's supposed to be looked at in the shadow of Hal, but as time goes on, you have where John Stewart's shadow ends up overshadowing Hal Jordan. And Hal Jordan ends up falling into, you know, disgrace because he becomes Parallax. You had a lot of story to play with. And to me, you crammed too much into the ending. Even though I felt like the pieces fit and they flowed well, you had a lot of opportunity to just be like, cool, I have this, and this is my reasoning. Like, heck, you probably didn't even need to do, like, doing the Rand-Thanagarian War, you could have left it at that. You know, have where John gets involved, and John and, you know, all John and Oliver Queen get involved with Hawkgirl and Adam Strange. They figure out and they solve the mystery. They end up finding Hal Jordan. You know, you find out that Sinestro was behind it. They end up getting into a fight with some of the Sinestro Corps members, and Sinestro just ends up escaping, leading into a sequel. But you also have where you find out that Hal Jordan was infected by the Parallax Entity, and you can play out one or two more movies out of it. To me, I feel like that, for me personally, was what I would have done. Now, I understand they wanted to really emphasize John Stewart is our Green Lantern. It's his 50th anniversary, and I really want this, and I want him to be the guy, and that Hal Jordan, to a lot of people, was old news. He wasn't really that important of a character. I get that. But that's also where I get the sense of you still need Hal Jordan. Even if you don't want to acknowledge it, Hal Jordan had a purpose in the story. And you could have easily elongated, made him kind of a mentor to Jon Stewart. And have, you know, the mentor end up betraying the mentee, and the mentee has to overcome the mentor, doing all that. You had a lot of good story beats that some people would go, oh, that's cliche. But to me, you could have gotten a lot more out of it. And in all honesty, you know, I don't know where else they want to go. I mean, there's plenty of stuff. They can still do the Sinestro Corps War version of it with Thal Sinestro's daughter, Sorenik. I mean, they have a lot of ideas and story they can go with. But at the same time, you've kind of, you wasted story to really emphasize John Stewart's the guy. John Stewart's our Green Lantern. And to me, I feel like that's, they did a good service to the character, but you also did a, kind of cut yourself short and allowing the character to be looked at as even better. And that's just me from the idea of a character standpoint, and me of a guy who loves the Green Lantern Corps, loves, you know, the stories that have been really pushed, and just character of John Stewart. You know, that's just me. But hey, I still think the movie's worth a watch. I think people will enjoy it. I think it does move forward a story, and hopefully, you know, John Semper is the guy they bring back again, because he really understood the character, and you play up more with what the character is. And I hopefully they can kind of figure out where they want to go, because now they are in the rebuild phase, which they can do with Green Lantern. That's not impossible, but still, you've got a lot of stuff to do. And I feel like you really could have gotten more out of it with longer story time. But that's just me and just how I've read the comics. But hopefully you guys enjoy this. Hopefully you guys didn't think this was anything too crazy. And hopefully you guys still check out the movie. Again, I do recommend it. And hopefully you guys are, you know, either renting or buying the DC anime movies, because they are good. And this animation style, I feel like, has gotten easier, at least for me to look at. And I feel like they're really catching their stride again. And I think, to me, that's where DC still proves it is number one. It can give you good stories. Something that, you know, unfortunately might not always be consistent with the comic books, or at least in comic book realm for both Marvel and DC. But I do feel as though, if anything, DC does a good job of that. So with that being said, thank you guys for listening. And as always, you guys can find me on Anchor, Podbean, wherever you listen to your podcasts, as well as Apple Podcasts and all that, and Spotify. As well as you guys can find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Nerd Stuff with Ian. And you guys can always email me at nerdstuffwithian@gmail.com. You guys have a great day. Later.